Pledge of Allegiance. Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And just for...
If you're on your iPad, it's not gonna work.
Just for the record, I would like to announce that I, Nicole Crabb, president, is president, or is present. Rana Eaton, the clerk, is also present. We have Regine Waltz, board member, also present. Ish Medina, also present. Robin Bogdanoff, also president. Present. It's gonna be a long day. We have Chad, our tech guy, running our tech, and we have Melissa, who sadly has to be here to take our notes on her day off. So we appreciate Chad and Melissa being here on their time off. We really appreciate you. So welcome. And we only have one agenda item today, and that is the discussion of where we stand with opening schools on January 4th, as we are set up to do. And so Craig will bring us the newest and greatest and latest information.
Okay, I don't have a lot of newest and greatest information. I had a meeting last Monday with Dr. Liu, all of us did, and she canceled our meeting this week due to technical issues. I'm not gonna go over all the numbers because you guys see them every day. There was one day or a 3-day period in which Wheatland had 29 and Plumas Lake had 28, and people call a lot of attention to that. Oh, Wheatland, no. We're not on the rise. That's a flat number based on all of the information. It's just that particular reporting period, Plumas Lake went down dramatically. They were usually in the 40s and went down to 28. So I wanted to call attention to that. I was notified this morning that apparently right around now, the governor is supposed to be making an announcement that he's eliminating the waiver process to get children back in school. They're adding $2 billion to entice the return of kids to campus. Schools that are already open would get an additional ADA bump of approximately $450 to $600 per student. And that...
He's 22 minutes out, by the way.
22 minutes out? Okay.
Yes.
So according to what we received, the summary, California Safe Schools for All plan, the funding portion, the budget will propose an immediate action in January, $2 billion for the safe reopening of schools beginning in February, with the priority for returning the youngest, TK through second grade, and those with disproportionate impact, then returning other grade levels to in-person instruction through the spring. These funds will be provided for approximately $450 per student to school districts offering in-person instruction and will be weighted for districts serving students with low-income families, English learners, foster youth. And then he's got some indications in here about safety and mitigation. The administration will support frequent COVID-19 testing for all school staff and students. More PPE. School contact tracing. Schools will continue the onboarding onto the school portal for outbreak tracking. It's called SPOT, for improved collaboration between school and health officials and members of the state. And vaccines. This is important for those people who are interested. Vaccines for school staff will be prioritized into the next level. So right now it's the health officials, school staff, which it's good that they changed it from teachers only to school staff, because our custodians and all the people that are doing the cleaning need the vaccination too, if they so choose, will be prioritized and should be beginning in February. And The rest of this is just political stuff. Now, again, this came to me via email. He hasn't made his announcement yet, so all ears on when he makes his announcement. We have had zero cases reported to us of staff or students during the holiday period. Angela Waltz, our school nurse, called the county today, and as you know, we may or may not get somebody to tell us. There have been no reported cases in our county for our employees at this point. And Angela Waltz, you're on here, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. So that brings me to where we are right now. I'm not changing my recommendation to the board in that we start back on Monday with TK preschool and TK through fifth grade on campus AM PM hybrid model, and 6 through 8 stay on distance learning. And then we meet again in January, midway through, to determine whether 6 through 8 could come back at some point in January or by the beginning of February. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Again, the concern that is laid out there for everywhere in the United States is that the holiday get-togethers that may or may not have happened will not be indicated at the health departments until mid-January.
Well, it seems like our staff has been very diligent about this whole thing. And so, you know, they probably took the precautions, hopefully, during the holiday. And, we're going to continue with our zero cases, I hope. I would like to personally meet sooner than later on the middle school, just because of the correspondence that I've been getting. It's really difficult for those families that have one in and one out, and the middle school kids are really feeling the effects. And so I have been contacted by multiple people that they would like to see their kids back in school and not on the computer for those many hours a day. And then the other thing I had is just a lot of appreciation for us, especially Angela, for your tracing and that stuff and having all the numbers at the board meetings for us. The families feel secure in sending their school kids to school. So I thank you. I know you have a whole team, but it starts with you, and I just want to thank you for that. And then the only other question I had was about our site-based thing. People are asking if they can just jump on that at any time. And I tried to explain it, but maybe we can explain it, either Peter or you, of when it opens up and that kind of stuff. So that's just my 2 cents. So anybody.
So let me address the home-based instructional program. As you're all aware, we offered a home-based instructional program, which is basically independent study. Okay, we do have Shara Hall, who's in charge of the teacher side of it, along with Aaron, who are doing that. Peter's in charge of the entire thing. We have about 70 to 80 students in the program currently. We pay per student for that program. We allotted a certain number of slots. It is not a jump in, jump out kind of a program. It's not something that a student gets quarantined for 14 days so they can jump into home-based. It's project-based. It's when you start it, you're starting at the beginning. So students who started in August, in November are here, and the ones that would jump in November would have to start all the way back here.
And I think what they were thinking is like independent study, like they do if they take trips. And so that was what I was trying to clarify.
Yeah, it's a very different program than independent study. Independent study is run by our own staff. Mm-hmm. They put together packets or work to be assigned while the student is gone. And they're typically no more than 3 weeks or so. The home-based instructional program, although not probably the best program for students who don't have a lot of parent input. It is very difficult. It is time consuming. It does require a lot of work on the parent's part. We are up to 5 more spots in January. So if we have parents that just are adamant about not coming, then we can look at whether or not that student will be successful in the home-based program. Shara does a fantastic job of calling the parents, talking to them about the program, going through what it would look like for them. And we have had some cases where it looks like the student will do quite well and they get in. We have some that the parent says, oh my God, no way do I want to do this. And they stay in the regular school. And unfortunately, just like regular school, we have students that are in the home-based program that are doing absolutely nothing. And they're not doing well. And those students are likely going to be kicked back into our regular program because they're not doing anything outside of school. They signed up for home-based, but they haven't done any work for 2 months. So if somebody's very interested, they should reach out to either myself or Peter, and we can look at how many we have and how many slots that we can continue to purchase. But it's not going to be something that you're going to jump in January, and then February everybody's back to school and you're going to jump back over, and then you're going to jump back in. We can't have that. It's just not that kind of a program. You sign up, you're basically signing up for the semester.
Thank you for coming on. I see we have chat questions, but let's go through the board if they have any questions or comments first.
So the funding, the additional funding that the governor's talking about, that would not pertain to the middle school?
Yes, it would pertain to
even though they were distant.
No, it's TK through 12th grade, is my understanding. I just received notification that the governor's his thing's gonna be on YouTube. I don't know.
Well, you mentioned it was for the in-person. That's why I was asking, because those middle school obviously was at distance learning. So
let me clarify what I believe, and without hearing what he has to say, I'm just going off of what was sent to me. I believe that if you currently have students in some sort of a hybrid in-person learning, you will receive additional funding for those students. If you are a situation like the high school, for example, where they have no kids in their on campus, then they don't receive that funding, but they will receive incentive funding to get the students back on campus. That's my understanding in reading through this very short synopsis of what they believe he's going to say.
But we've always wanted kids in school because we think that's better. Funding has nothing to do with this.
All I'm telling you is that it's the direction now of the state is to get kids back in school. The funding is the funding, and that doesn't have anything to do with the recommendation that I gave you last 2 weeks ago, and I'm still giving you.
And I just want to make that clear, because I don't want anybody to think about that we think, I mean, obviously we need funding to run our schools, I get that, but this was not even on the board when you made your last recommendation.
I mean, you can look at it. It came this morning at 8:45.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that was out there and clear, so.
This is Ron, and I have a comment or a question, because what I read, what I got, said that in order to qualify for the extra funding, every staff, every employee, and student would have to be tested weekly. Do you know anything?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know where, who, how'd you get that?
Came up on my email. It must have been Apple News, or I don't know what it was.
I don't think we can make students be tested weekly. No. That seems like an invasion of their rights and the parents' rights.
I wouldn't think so either, but then we might not qualify for the funding. We're not doing it because of the funding.
No.
No, we're not doing it.
Well, what this says about testing is the administration will support frequent COVID-19 testing for all school staff and students, including weekly testing at schools in communities with high rates of transmission. For example, any interested public school will be onboarded to the state-owned Valencia Branch Lab for PCR tests at one-third the market rate. And the state will establish a hotline to help schools implement testing. So my understanding, and Angela can correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding is we don't have a lab like that in Yuba Center County. And Dr. Liu has said that this type of testing would not be, plus it's PCR testing, which is different than what they're doing right now. Anybody can currently go get tested for free. All they have to do is drive to Marysville or drive to Yuba City or drive to Placer County. You can go to any of the state places and get tested for free currently. Okay, so there are some districts that like—
And if you have Kaiser also, you can get tested for free.
Right, the districts in Placer County have orchestrated a lab where the districts, I believe, all coordinate and pay for it. And their staff, not their students, their staff are put in on a rotation basis. So your name comes up and you have to go get tested. But again, I don't know about the forcibility of testing people. I'd have to check with our attorneys on that.
So I think we'd have a lot of unhappy parents that we would see kids.
Well, I don't believe we can force kids to go get tested. The question is, can we force our staff on a rotating basis? And I think the answer is yes, but I wouldn't want to say that emphatically without having our attorneys, because right now we force our bus drivers to go, they're on a random drug test and they have to do it as part of their job.
But that's so, not a school district, that's DOT.
Yeah, but we enforce it.
Well, yeah, but anybody who has their Class 8 license has to do that no matter what.
Oh, even if they're not a school district.
Yeah, because Eric just had to go do his, so every few months. That's not something, I mean, obviously we make sure it happens, but if you have your Class A license, every you get called in. That's part of the Department of Transportation.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So we've got a few questions up here. Can you scroll that back up?
Wait, did anybody else, Robin, did you have any comments? Or I just want to make sure we all reading. Okay.
So is staff going to be tested so we know they are negative? Well, Monica, I just talked about staff. Knowing that they're negative is a whole other issue. Right? We're not going to put out something that says Craig Gensler is negative or Craig Gensler is positive. That violates all kinds of laws. So you won't know as a parent if they're negative, but I can tell you if they're not negative, they're not going to be in school. If they're positive, they're not going to be in school. What with the incentive does Wheatland plan to participate in that? Will weekly testing be required for students and staff? Okay, so I just talked about that. We'll need more information, Heather, and then I can get back to you on that. But yes, we would, if it's available to us, we would certainly participate in it. How would us as parents know if staff have not been to gatherings? Parents would not know that. I don't know that. Right? I have no idea how many of our staff adhered to no getting together during the holidays. It's not something, I mean, I can tell you that if you look at Facebook, there's plenty of people that didn't adhere to it. I don't know if there are staff or not, but all over. So again, my big issue continually is that people want to push parts of the law or the recommendations, but then they don't adhere to the other parts of the recommendations. So I have no way of knowing if our staff has been to gatherings or not. And it's not something we even ask them. What we do, we've had one situation where a staff member traveled out of the country and we did quarantine that staff member for 14 days when they came back. He didn't have any issues. He wasn't positive, nothing. But we did it just on the, but that's because we knew about it. There are other people that have gone out of state or maybe out of the country, but we don't know that because they don't share that with us. And over winter break, they don't even have to take a leave to go do something like that. So there's no way we would know that. If you're so adamant about schools reopening, then all staff needs to be tested weekly. Okay. Peachtree Clinic in Marysville was super easy and fast. They do two tests, one rapid and one mail-in. So Peachtree Clinic, there's all kinds of places that people can go. Did I skip anything? There's all kinds of places people can go to get tested. We are not in a position yet, again, without legal advice, to force our staff to do it. If Dr. Liu and the county says We need teachers tested. There's, I can't imagine testing somebody weekly. I mean, that just seems a bit overkill. But random testing could be coming down the road. My guess is the vaccine is going to be here before that. So one of the questions came up this morning, can we force our staff to get vaccinated? Currently, the answer is no. I don't believe we can. However, if the vaccine is available and we bring students back to school because the vaccine is available for all of our staff and they choose not to get vaccinated, that doesn't mean that they don't come back to work. They still have to come back to work or take a leave. So currently my understanding of the law, and again, it's brand new, but currently is nobody is being forced. There are doctors, there are many doctors and nurses that have gotten vaccinated, but there are some that haven't, and they're choosing not to. So I would expect to see the same thing when it comes to the next level of testing, which will include school staff. They will offer it. I'm hoping that we can actually offer it, like here at the district office. People can come in, get it. I don't know how that's going to work. They may have to go to Walgreens or CVS or whatever, but it'll be offered. And how they're going to determine whether you're a school staff or not, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because nobody's told us that. I know with the nurses and the doctors, they're going off of a registration number that they have to have. That we could look at the credentialing for teachers, but that doesn't indicate anything because we have a lot of classified staff that aren't there. So they would have to probably have a letter from the district, or it happens at the district where they come in and do the shots like they're doing right now in some of the convalescent homes where they're going in right now and doing it that way. I don't see any more. Does anybody want to speak? And not type?
Craig, I'll speak.
Who's on?
This is Angela.
Hi, Angela. Thank you.
Okay, yes. First, I wanted to just speak a little bit as a parent of a kindergartner, so the TK through 5 grade levels. Just wanted to say about, you know, my kids' engagement and their excitement have greatly improved since we have been back in school. It's something that, you know, I can see across the board, not just with my kids, but kids are getting excited and kind of starting to be kids and not so isolated anymore. So that's really neat to see. There's no way to replace the kind of learning that these kids, especially at the younger ages, can get at school through the screen. I'm not concerned of my kids getting COVID at school because I know of the safety measures that are put in place. Of course, there's always a risk, but there's always a risk of going to the grocery store, you know, going different places like that. For those parents that don't feel the same as me, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, of course, I think that they should have the option to do the home-based program if that's what they think is best for their families, or if they have medically fragile, you know, children, students, parents, family members that live within the households. I definitely think that should be an option for them. But as a parent, I would be very disappointed to see these young kids be forced back to full-time distance learning. As the district nurse, we have been very fortunate in our district that our numbers of COVID-19 have been so low. There have been no cases of transmission at the school. There are some new guidelines that you and I, Craig, have talked about and are working on putting new things in place. One thing to understand that I hope everybody does understand is that the majority of our cases that have been positive so far have not been on campus during their contagious period. So therefore, there hasn't been that exposure at all. So there would be no notification on that end if they were positive but not on campus while contagious, because there would be no risk. Another thing to consider for our students is nutrition. At one site alone, on Mondays, our distance learning day, they only give out about 30 meals, but Tuesday through Friday at that same site, they give out over 300 meals a day. So especially with as many families are struggling right now, I think the food security is something to take into consideration. When the students are on campus, they're able to access more resources or be identified that they're struggling. And we are also mandated reporters. So we have eyes on our kids to know, you know, kind of signs, see if anybody's needs to be reported on. I think all of these things should be taken into consideration for our students. We definitely can't ignore the fact that we have very high positivity rates and case rates in our counties. That's been going on for a while now. I know if the rest of the county has shut down and reverted completely back to distance learning, but I have not seen a decrease in cases or positivity rates since that has taken place also. It's something that, you know, again, in our own district, we have no transmission within the district. It's something that our positives are happening outside. So whatever we're doing outside of school, you know, some are engaging in a lot higher, riskier activities. Yes, we know that. Students, staff, all of that kind of stuff. That's something out of our control. But again, not spreading at school. Also wanted to mention, we obviously have one hospital for two counties. It's definitely overwhelmed. Right now, they're calling in a few medics from the National Guard to be deployed to the hospital. But again, one hospital for two counties, not a lot of hospital space. I know a lot of people do go down to Roseville also. But this is due to the activities outside of our school. We as a community need to make better choices to slow the spread of this virus and do what we can to help our healthcare workers and, you know, help our hospitals flatten the curve. But I don't believe shutting down our schools is the reason why.
So I think one of the points that you made was, it kind of quickly glossed over, but it's a very important point, is that they shut down schools in November and case rates have continued to increase. We chose not to shut down our TK through five and our case rates have not increased. So there was a study on the news last night. Again, it's small percentage, but New York did a study of where people are getting infected, and they listed like retail shops, less than 1%, restaurants, 1%, schools, less than 1%. And they had a listing of like four or five other things. I can't remember what they are. And then family gatherings, 75.6%. So again, that's where it's happening. And that, you cannot stop that. People have to stop it themselves. We can't, nobody, even Dr. Liu or Governor Newsom or President Trump or whoever you talk about, they can't stop the family gatherings. There's no way to do that. People have to be cognizant of themselves. Okay.
We got a copy of Dr. Liu's letter, and it strongly recommends that we go back to distance learning.
Right.
So why do you think she's taken that approach and we haven't?
Because Dr. Liu is solely basing her recommendations on the impact of Rite Aid Hospital. That's how she does it. She doesn't look at, in fact, it was asked by one of the very small school districts, why is it that we're lumped in with Yuba City and Marysville when we're closer to Nevada County? Why is it that we are having to, can't you delineate that these districts that are so high are different than like our district that's not experiencing that? So Dr. Liu does a shotgun approach where she just tells everybody. The difference, one of the differences in her recommendation this time versus her advisory last time, 3 weeks ago, was that the one at 3 weeks ago was nobody on campus, and this one we strongly recommend that you stay on distance learning except for special education, EL, students that have problems with distance learning. So she's actually eased up her recommendation a little bit.
And isn't it true that we obviously didn't follow the recommendation, her recommendation last time? And when we told her, she really wasn't that concerned over it. She
didn't respond at all. About,
yeah.
I don't know what her concern level was, but I think Angela hit it on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Is that nothing changed for those school districts that went to distance learning. They still have, I get notification every day of staff at Marysville getting, having COVID. They put it on their catapult system for some reason. So I get that notification daily, but they're all on distance learning, and actually right now they're not even in school. And so again, school has not proven to be a source of getting COVID or passing COVID from one to the other. We have so many things in place. We did follow our first recommendation where it was 6 through 8. That's why 6 through 8 went on distance learning. We did that not believing, I did that, my recommendation to you, not, I didn't even believe it myself that they should be back on distance learning, but we wanted to follow it because it was the first recommendation. But again, when 6 through 12 went back to distance learning, the only thing that happened is we increased the number of positive cases. So again, it's not really tied to schools, in my opinion. So, Jenna asked, does the governor's plan specify getting students back into full-time learning or just generally back in-person learning of some sort? It doesn't specify that, Jenna. My guess is it'll be a slow roll back in, so it'll be some sort of hybrid. And I would expect, predicting the future these days is ridiculous, but I would expect that once the vaccine, the double shot vaccine, has been available for school staff and has passed the time in which you could have gotten both of them, then we could look at potentially bringing students back full time. Whether that happens this spring or whether it happens at the beginning of school next year is to be determined. It'd be nice to get them all back all day, but I'd be crazy to tell you that that's for sure gonna happen. I just don't know that.
Are all these kids gonna be ready to move on to the next grade is my thing. I mean, I understand teachers are doing their absolute best at what they can do, but in 3 hours, they're getting basically half, you know, I mean, I just wonder, at some point after this has been a year, are they going to do like a, I don't know, what is it, a down year, a cut year, a, you know, standstill year?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I think that when they reinstitute some sort of state testing, that at some point they may say, everybody, I can't imagine that they would say everybody repeats a year, but they, I think that a lot of it's going to have to do with parents deciding that they want their child to redo it. Let's also remember that, yes, we're only in there 3 hours, but the teachers are there 3 hours with half the number of kids, right? So the students are still maybe getting the same amount of teaching time, just less subjects, but half the kids, there's more individualization than there would be when the full students are there for the 5 hours or so. The other thing that I'm a firm believer in is that our kids are learning a lot through this pandemic that is not educationally put in the classroom, right? I think I put it in the thing I sent out right before Christmas break about how kids are learning to be flexible, how they're learning to know that life is not gonna keep going straight every time. You know, there's all kinds of things students learn outside of the classroom that, you know, I mean, I'm guessing we're gonna have some students that are low. We are, not just here, everywhere. And how that's gonna be made up for is a question for the future.
As a parent, Robin, welcome out here. As a parent, I can say, especially this trimester, Tony has blossomed. My son met 100% of his AR goal before we left for Christmas break. He has thrived this semester with the reduced class sizes because he's getting a lot more attention when he has questions.
What grade is he in?
He's in fourth grade. And he does spend part of his day in Learning Center, but he has thrived and blossomed because he is getting the interactions back on campus. yet he's still getting a lot more attention with the reduced sizes. And he, is he below what standards would be for this time of year for fourth grade? Yeah, possibly. But those standards are arbitrary and, you know, they can be overlooked because across the board, children are, even during a non-pandemic year, there's still going to be students below these standards, no matter how many hours a day they're in class. I honestly, as a parent, feel his current hybrid situation has allowed him to blossom. For the first time ever, my son made honor roll.
Well, there you go.
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that our staff is doing everything they can to keep students at the level in which they should be at, and trying to, and hopefully using up that Monday intervention day for those kids that are falling behind. I know for a fact, because I've seen some of the emails, that like some of the sixth graders, I'm just going to use, if Heather doesn't mind, I'm going to use her as an example. She is trying and trying and trying to get those students to come to her interventions. But getting the parent to push the student to come to the intervention is the other problem. So this is a two-way street. Our teachers can do so much in the teaching. We need the parents to also step up and make sure that their kids, especially if they're on distance learning, are grasping and getting involved in the education of their children.
Which is difficult, so, too.
It is very difficult.
If the kids are home alone, which I have a family that I know, and she's supposed to log on and she doesn't, and there's nobody there to make her.
Right.
So when she gets home, she gets in trouble. The next day, same thing. I mean, it's just a cycle, yeah. You know.
It's a tough one.
I have a question to the maybe kindergarten for a second. You know, how they feel about their students not wearing masks. Is that something that they might feel safer if we implemented, and if
we check at the state,
go to distance learning?
Well,
I know that my grandkids wear masks and they're in kindergarten and first grade, so I just.
I would say in second grade, and the both Jody and Peter are here, and maybe some of the teachers. In second grade, I would say about 80 to 90% of the kids are wearing masks, if not more. There's a couple of our second grade classes that 100% of the kids are wearing masks. Kindergarten, I think, is much less. And I don't know if there's any kindergarten teacher.
Brooke's on.
Brooke's on here. Our preschool has been going. Now, don't forget, our preschool has been going since August. No masks, no hybrid.
Playing on the playground.
Playing on the playground, playing together in the classroom, and we've had zero situations. We've had one staff member in preschool that have tested positive, and that was from a close contact with her husband who got it from somebody else. So it was not happening at school. So if any of the teachers that are in the TK through second grade would like to speak to the mask, understanding that currently there was an indication that all students would have to wear masks, but they have never brought that out. They said it. They said that TK through second grade was going to have to wear masks and be ready for that to come in their advisory from CDHP. It is, to my knowledge, to date, not come. They still are not enforcing that piece of it. So currently, as we sit here right now, TK through second grade is highly recommended, but not required. Third grade and above is required.
Jenna said they're 100%.
Jenna, okay, so Jenna's class is 100%.
We have a high percentage of students wearing masks. They choose to, their parents choose for them to. So it's more wearing them than not.
Agreed, same here.
Same there, Peter?
Yep.
Thank you. Kindergartners, for the most part, make an effort, but full-time is a struggle. Their masks are falling off, being played with, et cetera. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, it's a struggle for all of us to keep them on without them falling off and being played with and so on and so forth, right? So for little ones, it's even more. But I like the fact that, thank you, Brooke, for saying they're making an effort. And that's important because they're learning as they go. Even after the vaccines, Just so you know, my understanding is even after the vaccines, the mask requirement will stay in tow until they can determine the pandemic is over. So I don't see the mask requirement for students and staff changing this school year. Anything else? I don't see anybody raising their hand, so again, I don't know that it takes action, because at the last meeting, the action was that TK through fifth grade would come back. We're starting back on school January 4th. January 4th is a distance learning day for all. So January 5th, preschool will be back on January 4th. TK through 5th will be back on campus January 5th. Distance learning for 6th through 8th grade continues. Our next board meeting is
the
21st or the 22nd, whatever 21st, that
you're right.
21st of January. We can at that point discuss 6th through 8th, or you can have a board meeting prior to that.
I think we should have one prior, personally, but I don't know how you guys feel. For the 6th grade. Oh, Newsom just came on.
Let me see here. They come back on the 4th through the...
So that is about 2 weeks.
It's 2.5 weeks.
That's good. That's fine.
You're not going to know enough by the 10th or
somebody's
the 14th.
Talking.
Somebody's what?
Oh, I thought somebody was saying something.
I just got a thing of text. Hold on a second. Let's see. Okay, it looks like we're going to get some clarification on what Newsom's current intent is from Dr. Liu at some point. Whether or not the waivers have to be resubmitted. Plumas Lake says, I believe our plan to open K-5 schools that I submitted for the waiver. I believe my plan to open the K-5 schools that I submitted for the waiver that Dr. Liu approved. So, yeah, I mean, it's... Again, I don't really know where we're going with what Newsom has to say, because we're doing this meeting at the same time they're doing that one.
When is the high school planning on reopening, just out of curiosity?
February 4th, or I think it's the first week of February.
Okay.
That may change, though, if
exactly,
Newsom's,
yeah.
If Newsom's thing is going out. What the high school did, just so everybody's aware, is that we come back on the 4th, Plumas Lake comes back on the 5th. How they're coming back, they have a meeting tonight, but how they're coming back, I don't know. The high school took that week of January 4th as an additional, the third week of winter break, and they traded it for that February week, which we had already given up the February week when we started later. So the high school, no matter what, won't be in that whole week, not even distance learning, for the week of January 4th through whatever that is, the 9th.
February or January.
January. So in other words, they're having a 3 week winter break again, where we're at 2 weeks.
After the 11th, that's the first Monday.
Correct. But right now, the high school is starting back on distance learning, unless something changed between now and the 11th, based on this new news. I don't know that it will. They set it up from a standpoint of February is the end of a trimester or something like that. And so that's why they picked that date.
It sounds like Fauci is the one also saying schools are, the transmissions are so low that that's why they want to get kids back in.
So. We have asked, both Angela Walt and I have asked for information from the county on how many positivities in both counties have come out of schools, and we have not been able to get that information. But based on what we know and what our district is, it's zero.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that there won't be some, but it's currently zero. Every single positive that we've had has happened outside of work. And many of those, either the staff member or the student knew they were in a situation and they didn't come to school, so they weren't here during their infectious period, so there was no ability for them to even pass it on during that period of time. So,
Greg, according to the Yuba County website on coronavirus, it says daycares and schools in Yuba County, there's been 9 cases of transmission tied to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Did she say Yuba and Sutter, or just Yuba?
She said Yuba.
Yuba.
But that's daycare.
Correct, just Yuba.
Okay.
And that's daycares and schools. So, and daycares never closed down at all, so.
No. So unless there's anything else, I don't think it takes action because you already took action. Unless you want to change the action that you took at the last board meeting, it doesn't take action.
Keep as is.
So if that's the case, then what I will do, because obviously we have a lot of staff members that aren't on here, I will send out something this morning letting them know that this is what we're doing. Status quo as of when they left.
Is the new trimester start at the beginning of when they go back?
No.
When is
Jody or Ange or Peter, you know when the new trimester is? It February, March?
February.
Hang on, I'll look.
I just like to see the middle school in before the new trimester started.
I know it's at least February.
March 12th is the trimester.
Thank you.
You're a little slow there, Jody. I'm a little disappointed.
I know, right?
Is there anything else from anybody on Zoom? If not, then Nikki, you can.
Okay, we have no more questions or comments. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and that you have a Happy New Year. And we will see everybody back on the 4th. Meeting adjourned.